Bryce, what it do, baby? It's your boy, Mr. June, in the flesh from the critically acclaimed Zaddy Calendar. That's right, for those of you who don't know, Davey Rickenbacker.
From season 37, David versus Goliath.
Man, my DM's been going off the hook since I posted that thing to my story, dude. I appreciate you letting me be a part of it. So, Bryce, I was going through my camera roll recently, right? You know, deleting some photos, making some room so I could take some more Zaddy-esque photos for whoever needs them. And I come across this screenshot of me on FaceTime with you and Wendell at my watch party when I played my idol for Christian. And man, you guys were so hype, you can just see it in your facial expressions, man. I love y'all boys. Y'all are the epitome of Survivor family, dude. But speaking of Survivor family, when we gonna get up, man? Look, dude, the CDC told us mask off, brunch is back, people catching flights, not feelings, it's sundress season. Oh, we outside, bitch. We'll figure it out, though, because I know you gonna keep your ears to the streets. You know how I know that, right? Because it's a Purple Pants podcast, baby.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello and welcome to episode 95. We outside of the Purple Pants podcast, and I serve as your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I am so glad you guys clicked that play button. Want to give a shout out to all of my first time listeners. What's up? Welcome to the Purple Pants podcast. I want to say a warm hello. To my Purple Pants posse. What's up? What it do, baby? Listen, y'all, we outside, okay? Like Davey said, we outside. Miss Summer has officially arrived. It's 90 degrees in Philly. The sun is out. It's been beautiful. I've been seeing more and more people out. So that tells me we're outside. Now, I'm fully vaccinated, so baby boy is outside. I'm still wearing my mask, but when I'm outside, I'm outside. Before we get into this week's episode, I just want to say, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, what you waiting for? What's going on? Make sure you guys are subscribed to the Purple Pants podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. I'm there. Hit the subscribe button. Write a review and tell a friend that we outside over here on the Purple Pants podcast. What has everyone been up to since the last time I didn't had your ear? Me, myself, I've really been trying to let my hair down and enjoy the summer. I don't know if anyone else is like this, but I really had to come to the conclusion that I get anxiety about going outside now. I'm so used to being in my house. I work remotely, so I can do 100% of my job from my home. And although we've been complaining about it, I really feel as though I've gotten complacent in it. Like, I'm fine with staying in my house. I feel like it's a win if I haven't moved my car all day. I'm saving on the gas. The more I think about it and realize, I'm like, baby boy, you are not going outside. You're not interacting with your friends. You're not living your life. And this weekend, I was able to get outside. My friend Sarah had invited me to her friend's pool, and baby boy was laying in the sun. Okay, you know, I'm a Pisces, so I'm a water sign, so I love the water. It just was a really great day. and weekend for me just to be outside hanging and interacting with friends. It was like so weird. I didn't even know what to do. They were like, oh, you're so shy. I'm like, really? I'm not. But I just have not had interaction like that in such a long time. And my personality, I love to interact with people. I love to talk to random people. I love to say hello. I love to, you know, embrace people. And I just really thought about it. And I was like, you know what? I've gotten complacent being in my house and I'm okay with not leaving. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to force myself to go ahead and go to this pool. Because normally I would have just told my friend, maybe another time. Okay. Been back in the bed watching Netflix. But I really do want to enjoy this summer. I really do want to experience things. I want to do it safely, but I also, you know, want to live my life. I ain't gonna let this pandemic stop me. We've, you know, been at a halt for such a long time, and we are really turning the corner. And I'm fully vaccinated, so baby boy is outside. Now, I also got some updates on, listen, I'm tired of giving y'all updates on this fungi gnat situation. So, I told y'all my mom told me to drench the soil on alcohol. Shout out to Miss Gina. She says smother the soil in newspaper. And so all was good. And I would literally say this morning when I went to go record my podcast, I like to check on my babies, say hello, how you doing? Play a little City Girl and Lil' Kim for them. Cause you know you gotta speak to your plants. I get that from Miss Barb. Because every morning Miss Barb wakes up and literally touches all of her plants. Now, I don't go as far as all of that, but I do be like, hey, what's up, Keisha? Hey, what's up, Johnny? And, you know, play a little music. But so my one plant that I was having an issue with that I said was cured last episode, this episode, I like shucked the plant a little bit and I saw a couple of the gnats. Not a lot, but a couple. Listen, I never ran to the drugstore so fast and got more alcohol and I drenched the soil again. And I called my mom. I said, Barb, they're back. And my mom was like, it's okay, Bryce. She was like, it's a process. You know, you have to probably drench the soil a couple of times. So you want to drench the soil, water it, and you know, maybe in a week time, drench it again. So listen, fungi G-Nats, I'm so over y'all, okay? Y'all not gonna run my house plants out of the house. But I just wanted to give y'all that update because I had a lot of people reaching out to me telling me that what they were doing with their plants. And I just want to give a huge shout out to my college friend, Betsy. We went to Temple together and she reached out to me about last week's episode, which a lot of people did reach out just talking about, you know, opening up with friends and Francesca and just how so much they could relate to me or it made them think about their friendships in a different way. And I'm so appreciative of that. But shout out to my girl, Betsy, okay? She was like, Bryce, I'm a member of the Purple Pants Posse. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe Betsy listens to my podcast from college, okay? So, yeah, shout out to my girl Betsy and shout out to everyone that reached out to me just talking about last week's episode and the plants. But listen, enough about all of that. We outside. Let's get into this week's episode. It is a casual tea episode, and we got the baby boy Amon back, and we are breaking down a couple of different little headlines that's been in the news this week. We are talking about Naomi Osaka leaving, walking away from the French Open. We are talking about Simone Biles and her scoring. We are talking about Dr. Fauci and them emails that leaked. We're talking about Issa Rae joining the Spider-Man world. And we're talking about the name Karen. So you definitely don't want to miss this week's Casual Tea. And we've got Gangsta Gurry back this week for your Purple Pants Premonitions. He is DJing our energy for the month of June. We got the freak of the week, and of course we got the church announcements. So listen, let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcements, it really came to my mind when we outside, you know, we haven't been outside and around people in such a long time. And it really came to my mind that we all struggle with insecurities. It doesn't matter how popular you think somebody is, how successful you think somebody is, how talented, how athletic, how pretty, how handsome. Everyone has insecurities. And I feel like because we've been inside for so long, we've gotten just used to ourselves and our own thinking. And as we are entering the world and interacting with other people, I realize that some of our insecurities might spike again. And I just want to encourage someone that is listening to know that no matter what your insecurity is, you got to celebrate it. You got to embrace it, because we tend to allow our insecurities to consume us. We think the worst of ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves. And when I say ourselves, you know, I'm talking about me. I feel like this pandemic has taken so much from us. I refuse to beat myself up anymore. I refuse to allow my insecurities to have control over my life anymore. And I really want to just embrace them, because truly your insecurities are really the things that make you you. And we need to celebrate ourselves. We don't need to beat ourselves up. Trust me, this world will do it enough for us. So this week's church announcement, I really want to encourage someone to embrace your insecurities. Okay, live in your truth. Celebrate yourself. Do something that you wouldn't normally do because of your insecurities, okay? Whether it's taking your hat off, whether it's wearing, you know, something that you was like, you know what, I don't want to wear this, it don't fit, I gained a couple pounds, wear it, okay? Whether if it's playing the music that you want to play, whether it's eating food that you want to eat, whether it's whatever it is, whatever your insecurities may be, live in it, celebrate it, celebrate yourself, because we have to. If we don't, no one else will. And know that your insecurities are what make you you. And although we try to hide it, we try to act like we don't see it, and that truly holds us hostage. And I want to free ourselves. We outside. We not letting insecurities control us anymore. So that's your homework, Purple Pants Posse. Celebrate yourself this week. Do something you wouldn't normally do that you're scared of because you feel like that somebody gonna judge you or you don't like the way you look. We not doing that over here. Celebrate yourself. Don't let your insecurities control you, okay? And that is this week's church announcements.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. 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 It's a casual tea.
And keeping the men, you rolling. We back. Put it up. Okay. Ooh. It's the casual tea. Booyaka. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, listen. I'm hyped. I'm ready to go. My coffee is in me.
I was like, that coffee is doing this, the Lord's work.
Okay. The Lord's work. So much that, like, I feel at times when I drink coffee, it gives me an, like, I'm drinking alcohol.
Like a euphoria?
Yeah, like, I'm, well, just, is that the feeling of drunkenness, like euphoria?
Well, like, sometimes, like, alcohol, like, will, like, raise your dopamine levels. So, like, maybe you're getting, like, a bit of a rush. You know what I mean?
Maybe, but listen, when I used to be in an office, I remember one time my manager at the time was like, Bryce, we're going to need for you to limit your coffee intake. Now, mind you, at the time when they had said that to me, because I was borrowing creamer, I thought they were saying because of that. But my manager was like, yeah, your energy. First of all, don't tell me how much coffee I can. Listen, but.
Wait, they really told you to stop drinking coffee because you were too hype?
Well, I don't think it was formal. I think it was like informal, but like my manager really was like, I mean, when you drink, because I would have to have coffee in the afternoon because like my energy level would like plummet. So I wouldn't be like most people that drink coffee in the morning. I would drink coffee like after lunch. Mm-hmm. So it could like give me that like whatever. And so my job in a copy of room like, hey, can you keep up, baby boy?
I can't drink coffee. My anxiety has gotten like so bad in my 20s that like drinking coffee just sends me into a really, really bad state. I just get too jittery, too hyper focused. It's just not a good look for me. So I have to find other ways to wake myself up.
Well, listen, you're missing out. But one thing I don't understand is what the hell is the point of decaf?
Some people just love the taste of it. You know, they just love that little taste. And there's still, I mean, they say decaf, but there's still like a little, because you can never really strip it entirely of the caffeine. So there's still like a little dose of it in there. It's just to a lesser degree. It's for people that don't want, you know, to be up all night, but they want to drink some coffee. They want the taste of the beans, you know, of the roast.
Listen, if I can't have this dopamine with my coffee, you can keep it. Okay. But, yes, my coffee has me ready to sing it.
Sing it out, baby.
The casual tea. All right, that was a tie. Okay. But. Excited to be back for what is the fan favorite, the casual tea with Amon and B. Y'all love it. We love it. I think it is, so amazing that we have this space for us to just, we call it the casual tea, but it's really a kiki about just like, you know, the random current events that are going on and things that come across our teapot. But before we get into this week's casual tea, I wanted to just follow up with you on Invincible.
Oh, did you watch?
So I did. And so, mind you, I'm only on episode 3. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what I was expecting to... What? I don't know what it was.
But it wasn't that.
It was not that. Then I was like, oh, child, it really is a cartoon. But I will have to say, and mind you, they're like hour-long episodes.
Yes.
So I did get into that. And so first episode, I was like, oh, child, Amon do not know me. I don't want to watch this yet. But as the character developments and as we go along and we see the superhero group, now the names are skipping me, I really did get into it. And then the second episode, I was just like, oh, like, so I don't really like to watch them back to back. I like to watch them like, you know, maybe like 9 o'clock at night when I'm trying to like wine and you know, just kind of feel my zhuzh in bed. So I really do like it though. I'm on the third episode and it's not at all what I expected, but I like the fact that this is something that I would normally never watch. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I really am getting into like, you know, Mr. Invincible. Okay. First of all, the fact that that's his name is a whole key. But I love it because it is like a cartoon, but I definitely feel like it's for an older audience. And yes. I like it. So, thanks for that recommendation.
You are welcome. I watched it for the first time maybe like a week or so before I told you about it. And we were at my friend's house for Mother's Day. And we were like, okay, we're gonna watch Invincible. And he'd been talking about it for like the past month. And I'm like, oh my God, I do not feel like watching this fucking show. And I sat down and I was like one of the only people in the room that hadn't watched. And at the end, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody that might get turned on to it from this podcast. At the end of the first episode, when I tell you that I was in shambles. And everybody was like looking at me for a reaction, and I'm looking back at them like, "What is going on?"
Like, yes, and like, they love to leave you on a cliffhanger. Yes. So wait, your friends were doing a rewatch as you watched it.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Child, they was into it.
Yes, they were really into it. And the cast is so good. Like, you got Steven Yeun who plays Invincible, Sandra Oh is the mom. Zazie Beetz is in it. It's just Mark Hamill, Seth Rogen. Like, it's a stacked cast. Oh, and of course, J.K. Simmons, who is Omni-Man. So it's just, it's such a great show. And apparently, it's, you know, it's based off of a comic book series that got started in, like, 2005. And so I'm, like, really struggling with myself. I'm like, do I want to just wait and watch the seasons as they pan out, or do I want to go and like read the comic books and figure, like, I don't know what I want to do, but it's just, it's so good. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah, I will agree. I'm not a huge, like, you know, if it ain't Marvel, if it ain't X-Men, if it's not something that's like live action, I don't normally tune into it. But it reminds me of when I was growing up. Like, I used to love the X-Men, like, comic series that would come on, I think, like, maybe Fox or the WB. So it really gives me, I think it really touches into that, like, of my childhood. And I like the high school. I like the fact that, like, they are superheroes, but then, like, they not superheroes, but they still live, like, very normal lives. And, like, you know, the fact that they in high school is, like, so it's a lot that I can get into. So, yeah, I definitely recommend it for the people that don't normally watch this stuff like that. Now, don't expect your mind to be blown, but I what I say is that it slowly, like, grabbed me in, because, like, the first 5 minutes, I'm like, I'm about to text a mom and be like, bitch, don't recommend me nothing else again. But, you know.
And that's why I was like, that's why when I recommend it to people, I, like, don't say anything. I'm like, because I don't want, I just need for them to just watch it. Like, I'm not going to give you any sort of, you know, inclination as to what it could be about. All you'll know is that it's called Invincible, and that's it. Like, just watch it, find it for yourself, and I hope you like it. I'm glad that you do. I'm glad that you, it's so good. And I cannot wait for the second season. Like, I wish that I did what you did and didn't binge, but we literally, watched six episodes.
That's the one thing I hate about, hate and love, like you know, just it's a very dysfunctional relationship. But when shows are so good, like, I will stay up all night and watch the whole thing. So yes. I am learning to, like, pace myself, okay? But so at the same breath and same token, because we are in this digital streaming era, I feel like I hate when, if it's not on regular TV, like, you know, I don't even know a show that come out. Like, if it's not Black-ish, or if it's not a show that comes out, like, every week, you know, like, on a Tuesday, if it's on these streaming platforms, put it the hell out. I hate with, like, and especially HBO Max. Mind you, that's, like, my new zhuzh. And y'all know I love this show, Generation. And mind you, part two is coming out. If y'all have not heard, yes. So the season one is not over. Part two is coming out sometime in June. I need to see what the hell Chester is up to. First of all, wait. Did you watch Generation?
I have not. I don't have HBO, but and I want to watch it.
I would give you my password, but HBO, they been cracking down. You gotta, like, log in from, like, from your phone, then your phone connects to
it. Like, I'm verifier, like,
y'all doing too much. I pay $80 a month. I should be able to get my password to whoever I want.
Honestly.
Like, stop playing with me. Okay, I digress. So, no, Generations is great. We're going to figure out how to get you to watch it. But HBO has been piloting these new, like, format where they'll release three episodes, and then you'll have to wait 2 weeks to get another episode. And then in a week, they'll release two more episodes. And then in another 2 weeks, they'll release the final two episodes. Stop playing with me, HBO Max.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like for TV, if I'm fine if to binge a show if it's designed to binge. Like, there are some shows where, you know, they leave you off on cliffhangers every time, and it's, you know, obviously they want to push you to the next episode. But I'm also with you in that I sort of, like, do sort of miss the wait. I miss having the anticipation and the week of conversation. So, like, and, you know, it drags it out, and it makes it, like, more of an experience and a story, as opposed to you just getting all of it in one sitting. So there are some shows that get released on streaming platforms that they just do, like, a weekly episode. Like, and The Mandalorian for Star Wars fans on Disney Plus is every week. Like, almost every show that gets released on Disney Plus is every week. It's not like Netflix where they'll just, you know, the whole
right, release
out.
The whole season. Mm-hmm. But my thing for HBO Max is, if that's the case, then just release the show once a week on HBO. Like, and put it on, make it available on the streaming services the same day. But don't do this, like, I don't know. I like it and I don't like it because I just like to, sometimes I want to spend like 3 hours watching the show. I don't want to have to be, you know, I don't know. But maybe that's just my whole judge. But no, if you have not watched Generation and you got HBO Max, y'all need to watch it. It's great. I love it. It is I'ma do a mod on y'all. Just watch it. But yes, let's get into some of this casual tea we've got this week, and I think we've got some great topics. The first teacup, Naomi Osaka. Okay, you know she is the tennis beast out here, and she was in the midst of the French Open, I believe, and during one of the mandatory press conferences, Naomi opted to sit out, you know, stated due to her mental health, she wanted to sit out and, you know, not do the press conference because she wanted to take care of herself, like, you know, and in this day and age, how many of us can relate to that? Okay?
Yep.
So then the French Open came back and basically said the French tennis officials fined Naomi $15,000 and threatened to expel her from the tournament for not honoring her mandatory commitments. After first round win, the 23-year-old announced she was withdrawing from the tournament and revealed she had been suffering with bouts of depression for several years, leading to an outpouring of support. Then she took to her Instagram and wrote this lengthy statement, which said, "Just wanted to thank you for all of the love," she wrote in her Instagram story. "Haven't been on my phone much, but I wanted to hop on here to tell y'all I really appreciate you." And yeah, like, I just think that is, it's crazy. Now, I was reading some other stuff, and say she said due to a physical reason she could not make the mandatory commitments, they were basically been like, oh, okay, no problem. But because she cited mental health, they was like, oh, no, we're going to fine you $15,000 and threaten to expel you, child. And Naomi said, okay, well, watch this. You can't expel me if I withdraw.
Right. Yep. Boss shit.
Okay. And literally, and I am so glad that she pulled their coattail. One, as a world society, we need to start putting more importance on mental health. Okay. I can't tell you how many times in school, at work, I have to go to an event or do something and my anxiety, like, goes through the roof. I, like, you know, I deal with bouts of depression. So I, on a first-hand level, know what that's like to, like, have to do something, but, bitch, you can't get out of bed. But, bitch, you're, like, your anxiety is telling you, oh, my God, they're going to be like, I know exactly what that's, I first-hand basis know what that's like. And for you to be a world-class athlete, like, how much that could possibly affect your physical attributes, I think is so crazy. And I think it's crazy that the French Open does not want to acknowledge that mental health is such a huge thing with athletes. Like I, for me, it was a bit much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that she did this because, I mean, not only is, I mean, she's setting a precedent, right? Where it's like, I feel like there are so many corporations, especially with around sports, because it's ultimately a business at the end of the day, that just expect, they use their athletes as, like, as tools, a means to an end, you know what I mean? They're just, you know, like, just throw them on this team, toss them around, like, and just use them to make money, and they don't expect their tools or their instruments to, like, not want to show up to everything. Like, mm-hmm. They just expect, oh, you're making so much money, you're so famous, you should just be able to fall in line with anything. And she's like, actually, no, I'm not. I don't really appreciate all these interviews. And on top of that, there's already so much pressure on her, being that she is one of the few Black people in this field.
Okay.
So it's just,
and that, she's so young.
So very young. And she's already been subjected to so much scrutiny before. So it's just like, why would you expect her to want to go to all of these countries that I'm sure all around the world where people aren't going to like, are going to have preconceived notions about who, what kind of person that she is because she's black. So it's just like, I'd rather not subject myself to all of that, at least not all the time. I want to be able to say no when I want to. Like, I don't want to do this. And this is not only just helping her. Ultimately, it's going to help a bunch of other people because a bunch of other athletes are going to be like, you know what? She right. I don't want to do this anymore either. And right. So when all of these people decide, all these athletes decide, you know what, we really should start paying a little bit more attention to our mental health. That's only going to help everyone in the long run. It sucks that they had to like make an example out of her I don't even like it that way because she did this.
She made an example out of them.
Yeah. She said goodbye then. So I'm glad that she did this. It sucks that it had to come to this. It should have just been as simple as, I don't feel like doing this interview. I don't want to do this interview. Plus, what else are we going to talk about? Y'all have interviewed me so many times. Y'all have examined me so many times. And so many of these questions are recycled. I went ahead and read some of the interviews that she's already done. And they're asking her the same questions wherever she goes. It's like, at some point, it's like, okay, what else? Can I just play? I'm just here to hit a tennis ball. That's what I'm here to do. Okay? Leave me alone.
Listen, and what I love about this story and Naomi is that a lot of the times in our lives, we feel like we are the only person experiencing this. We feel like, you know, if we don't push back, if we don't say yes, that we will be punished. We will like feel some type of like repercussion. And I just love this. For me, it spoke to my soul is that like, no, guess what, baby boy? You can say no. And guess what? You can walk away. You can choose yourself over any other commitment in your life, because ultimately, like, you are the most important thing in your life, and you don't have to say yes to everything. And even though it might be some backlash at first, you got to choose yourself, because if you don't get your mental health, you don't get yourself in check, you might not be here tomorrow. And then what they gonna say?
Right.
And so I love, and I talked about this kind of sort of last week with Francesca, betting on yourself. Baby, put your talents, and this goes, and this transcends tennis. I'm talking at work. I'm talking friendships. I'm talking relationships. It's okay to say, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make the event today. You know what? I don't really feel like picking up the phone today. You know what? I'm not going to make my mac and cheese for the barbecue, because guess what? I'd rather spend some time just focusing on me. And guess what? It's okay to do that. We put so much pressure on ourselves that we, and mind you, I'm just speaking for myself, but I like so much pressure on myself to meet the standard of this like Bryce that I have set. And it's like, bitch, I can't do it. Like, I can't. And I like, for me, this story was just like the wake up call for me to be like, guess what, bitch, you don't have to. You can say no, and it's okay. And after Naomi did the end I hoop and pulled out, you know, the International Tennis Federation has promised a comprehensive review on how player and media interact during tournaments, saying it takes mental health issues extremely serious. You take it so serious, the International Tennis Federation, that you fined this young lady $15,000 and threatened to ban her.
For interviews. Like, what?
Child, that sounds like y'all take it real serious. It sounds like she called your number. Mm-hmm. And I want to give a huge shout out to the Calm app. I don't know if you guys ever seen the commercial for like the Calm app to help like with your anxiety. If you ever need like a minute, a second, it's a really good app. They actually released a statement, and the Calm app has announced it will pay the fine for players opting out of Grand Slam media appearances for mental health reasons. It also matched Naomi's fine and will match any future fines with $15,000 donations to the Laurel Sport. Okay, yes. Come on, Calm Act out here.
Okay, Calm. Okay. How about giving me a free subscription?
But child, listen, how about can
I
y'all
used to use that thing every day?
Listen, can y'all call my employer for me? Okay, can y'all match my salary while I take this mental health hiatus? Because
hey.
Listen. But yeah, I just shout out to Naomi, and I just love her so much, because not only are you an amazing player, you are such an amazing role model. And I know sometimes people don't like the term role model because it's like, you know, I don't feel like I'm like, you know, but just living in your truth and living like and putting yourself first really has set a precedent for so many other young girls and so many other people like you to basically say no. Like, you don't have to meet the standard that they set for you.
No, they don't. And it's like, I think I love that there are so many places of employment that are starting to incorporate that. You know what I mean? Like, when I interviewed for the job that I have now, they were asking about like my hobbies and what do I do to de-stress, because so many people can get burned out with the job. And they were like, we need to make sure that you are mentally fit and mentally well so that you can come into work every day and, you know, do your job. So they really focus a little bit on mental health and wellness and provide so many incentives for people to take care of themselves. Like, they'll even like my job has this benefit where it will pay if you have a gym membership, they will reimburse you for a portion of it. It's like, yeah, yeah. It's like I feel like people really need to focus more on that. Like, if you want people to come work for you or be a part of whatever company that you're at, then you need to take care of them, because at the end of the day, yes, capitalism, America, yeah, money, we get it, but at some point, like, I think that we're slowly evolving to the point where people are like not going to put up with bullshit anymore. Like,
right.
If you don't like your job, people will quit now, especially with this pandemic going on. It is so easy to be like, all right, I'm done, which is why there's so many companies struggling right now, because y'all don't do enough for your people. So take care of yourselves, take care of your customers or your employees, and or else they're going to dip like okay. Naomi did.
See ya, and then y'all gonna be left answering the phones. Y'all gonna be left stocking the stock room. Y'all gonna be left making food. Y'all gonna be left selling the cars, okay? And we gonna be home taking care of ourselves.
Exactly.
Speaking of another young lady setting a high standard and precedent, let's talk about my girl Simone Biles. Am I saying her name right? Biles?
Yes. Biles.
Okay. Biles. 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 Simone B. Okay. The four-time Olympian gold medalist made history at the U.S. Classic this weekend when she landed. Now, don't eat me up, Purple Pants Posse. When she landed Dior Chokey double pit vault. And even though the feature is so challenging and dangerous that no woman has ever tried it in competition before, okay, the authorities of the elite gymnastics awarded Biles a score on par with many of her other less difficult vaults. It doesn't seem to be consistent with what they've done with other vault values. United States Women's National Team Coordinator Tom Foster said the scoring evaluations per the New York Times, I don't know why they do that. Now, and I was like, but the scoring, like, I don't understand. Why are they scoring my sis so low? So scoring in high-level gymnastics is marked difficult. Is marked difficult than in most other sports. Rather than athletes earning points through performance, the decision makers at the International Gymnastics Federation, the FIG, pre-assign scores to the routine based on the difficulty in the skill level. Then judges evaluate in real time, docking points from the potential total value each gymnast could have made during their performance. Okay. Because Biles regularly achieves her physical features other gymnastics can only dream of, the degree of difficulty associated with her routines, particularly on the floor, balance beam, and vault, warrant some of the highest possible scores the FIG doles out. Biles enjoys a huge margin of error as a result. She can get away with fluttering during a performance because her floor is higher than most of her opponents. But that's the system that the FIG established. So as she pulls off increasingly complex and hazardous skills, Biles expected her point value to increase, but it has not. Wow. So basically, they are, but so many ways, and from the reading that I've read, and this is from the Insider, I've read something on CNN, I've read something on Women's Competition, they are, and I took it to the Twitter, and I read the Twitter. They are basically, and this is from the, I'm forming my own opinion from what I've read and what I've seen, is essentially they are scoring her lower than what she should score, because not only just how the fig does it, because, and that seems to be an antiquated way of doing things, but, you know, I have my own reasonings for that, because, so let me just break my point down. So anyway, they are, like, she's not scoring as, like, you know, she just landed that Yakitori boy double vault that nobody's ever done before, and child, it's almost the same point level as her just going out there doing a backflip. That don't make sense. So a lot of people are speculating that they are not scoring it higher because they want to defer people from attempting to do this because it is so dangerous and you can get hurt. I'm sorry. I thought all the gymnastics you could get hurt.
Isn't that kind of the point?
I mean, I don't want to take it there, but this is the casualty, and I'm going to speak my opinion, and because my good sister Simone is a black sister, it does raise the question to me, like, why y'all trying my good sister? Because it's just like, for me, no one's ever done this before in the history of gymnastics and women's. And, like, we got this black sister out here breaking barriers, and basically y'all saying, average. Like, that just, and I'm sorry, this is my opinion. I feel like if it was somebody else doing it, the headlines would be reading a little different for me. They'd be like, oh my God, as Karen experienced it, like, you know, like, right. So essentially she's being penalized for doing her job and doing it well, and doing it that these other girls, they can't even see her. Like, and the fact that when you look at their scores, like, that she is so close to these other girls who aren't, they don't even hold a candle to her. Yes, break that down. Break it down.
The whole point to me is, like, the whole thrill of gymnastics is that these people are doing such masterful feats. You know what I mean? Like, they're up and flipping and dipping and curling and whirling in the air. Things that you don't see every day, which is why they're at the Olympics, right? Like, it is the height of human endurance and muscle and achievement, and it just shows what the human body is capable of if you put the time and dedication into it. So for this routine, or for this thing that she did to be so dangerous, and she did it, that means that she is the best. So you reward her with the best. That doesn't make any sense to me. You're doing it because you don't want other people to do it, but the reason that other people can't do it isn't necessarily because it's dangerous, but because they can't do it. But she did it because she can. Like, is this rocket science here?
Right. Listen.
Like, I don't know a lot about sports, but this just sounds a little wonky.
Listen, but that's the system that the fig established. So as she pulled off increasingly complex and hazardous skills, Biles expected her point values to increase accordingly. They haven't. They had an open-ended code of points, Biles said after the U.S. Classic, per the Times, and now they're mad that people are too far ahead and excelling. It kind of sort of sound, now, I could be, now this might be a jump of correlations, but it kind of sort of sounds like whoever made the fig rules kind of sort of like was along the lines of the thinking of our, it just slipped my mind, along the lines of our electoral points. And
didn't catch that, but I'm not mad about that comparison. Seems a little like, let's shut some people out, because
just seems like, if you know, it's it, For me, it seems like they want to celebrate the basic. And let's keep the girls that, like, you know, and by no means am I trying to, like, diminish gymnastics because baby boy can't handstand. But I just feel like if baby girl is out here doing the whatchamacallit point blank vault, and how long has gymnastics been around, and that no female competitor has ever done it, and this baby girl is out here doing it effortlessly, flawlessly, and child, y'all trying to say it's basically compared to a regular old backflip? Nah, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it, and I don't like it. And I don't want to take a point out of the Naomi book, but I just think that there needs to be some updating, because that just does not make sense. And again, when you look at these ladies' scorecards that are like in currently this championship or like this thing, like it should not be as close as it is. Like, I don't understand it.
It really does, like, reek of celebration of mediocrity. It really does. It's like we need to bring this girl down a peg, because there are other people that we want to see succeed as well. And if she's there, then they're like, they're curving the class. That's what they're doing.
At the same time, don't get me wrong, I understand. They're just saying, like, with the added risk of this, it could potentially, like, injure a lot of, like, say these people, like, we're going for the Olympics, and say, like, if child, we got everybody out here trying to do
that's
it.
It's just stupid, because she's already done it. She did it, and she's fine, and she's safe. If other people can't do it, or people get
then
hurt
don't
trying
do,
to
it.
Do it, then don't do it. You can also award her and be like, that was amazing. I can't believe that you did that, especially considering the risk. We're going to give you these scores, but we also encourage other people not to try. Why not just say that? You know what I mean? And there's always a level of risk when it comes to this stuff anyway.
And that's again, stupid. I don't want to make everything about race, but I just feel like for me, watching it, and like, you know, my goddaughter, Moreland, she loves gymnastics and loves like stuff like this. And so like my best friend, Dara, has had her like, you know, watching this stuff on like YouTube, and like, you know, so she like be getting into all of that stuff. And for me, like, to see my beautiful goddaughter watching stuff like this, like, what does that say? Like, it for me, like, just it, like, don't try harder. Don't go, like, don't listen to yourself and go out there and be all that you could be, because you're not, like, it's just like, these systems in which we place point values on, like, it's just, I don't understand it, Fig. Y'all need to make it make sense for me. And any of y'all gymnastics people out there that are listening, like, you know, let me understand this, because, like, I don't get it. I understand. Now, don't get me wrong. I definitely understand the risk associated with it is extremely high. And in a way, it is protecting the players, you know, from not doing this. But if you, like, if they doing it of their own free will, they're giving a body and saying, like, I want to push the bar further, because the sky is not the limit for me. I can go beyond and exceed it. And they choose to do that. I think that they should be rewarded accordingly. And,
or, like, you could just, like, if it's really that important to them that they don't want people to try to do this, then just ban that particular routine. Just say that this is not allowed. You know what I mean? Because to see her do it and then to not recognize it for what it is by giving her the appropriate score, it's like that. I feel like that's just not the way to handle it at all.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, ooh, child, we got to bring this to the casual tea, because I don't understand what's going on. What's up?
It's good, Simone. We know that you're the best. Everybody else knows that you're the best. I mean, it's right. You're right there in front of us. Like, ain't nobody touching you. It is what it is. Like,
but when are we, like, don't we get tired of having to, like, just tell it to ourselves? Like, why can't we be rewarded like everybody else is rewarded? Like, yes, you are the best, and you should be rewarded as the best, and your scorecard should reflect that. We shouldn't just have to back you up in the community and be like, girl, don't worry about, you the best. No, you are clearly the best. You are clearly breaking boundaries and records, and your scorecard should reflect it. That's my position.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, like, you know, like, no, I don't want to settle for that. I want to settle for her fee card score being reflecting that. And she's blowing the other girls out of the water. The girl shouldn't even be in the water while she's in the water, because that's just how amazing she is. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like the fig situation, the fig scoring, y'all need, just like the iPhone did an update this weekend, I think y'all need to do an update.
Oh, about that iPhone update, didn't it say that it was going to let you... It was going to be able to recognize your face with the mask on, and it still doesn't do it.
Child, first of all, I didn't even know the update happened, and all I know is all my apps is basically saying, we want all your data. I'm like, no.
I know.
No.
I was asking, everybody's like, oh, do we have permission to
no.
Like,
and
no.
And then.
And I thought it says ask act app not to track.
Oh my God, I was about to say that. No, bitch, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you not to track.
It's basically, child, that the app is basically saying, we're the fig score. We ain't going to score. We going to take your suggestion, but we ain't going to implement it. Like, right, ask not to track. No, bitch, I'm telling you not to track.
Yes, bitch.
Are Talk about me? We. Talk about we want to bring you more customized ads. No, I don't want any more customized ads. I'm tired of y'all listening to my phone conversations anyway, okay? I'm talking about socks. Then all of a sudden, on my phone, all it is socks. Well, if you listening, phone, update the fig scorecard. Okay? Update the fig scorecard. But that is on our girl Simone Biles. She out there killing it. But I just, you know, I just thought it was a great conversation for the casual tea. Now, keeping the tea rolling, I, Dr. Fauci in these emails. And, you know, this world is so polarizing. So, depending on what side you're on, you, child, and child, I've heard enough about emails in the last 10 years.
I know. Okay.
Ciao.
But
so
emails.
But lock her up. But anyway, I digress. It's official. Now this is from the Hill. It's official. Dr. Anthony Fauci is Teflon, at least when it comes to the American media. Exhibit A comes after emails from and to Fauci, who heads the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, as well as President Biden's Corona Task Force, were revealed via a Freedom of Information Act request. Those emails revealed several things that should be of interest to the free press, and yet most media are ignoring the revelations despite huge domestic and worldwide implications. One email from February 2020 shows Fauci stating that retail masks aren't really efficient in protecting people from contracting COVID-19. The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out the virus, which is small enough to pass through material. It might, however, provide some slight benefit to keeping out the gross droplets if someone sneezes or coughs around you. Okay, so that's one point that everybody is talking about. And then the next one, that is another email, reveals that Fauci was made aware that a leak of COVID-19 by a research lab in China was entirely possible, courtesy of Kristen Anderson, a professor with Scripps Research, in a February 1st email. On a psychogenetic tree, the virus looks totally normal and close to the clustering with bats, suggests that bats serve as the reserve. Anderson wrote, the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the gene, so one has to look really closely at the sequence to see that some of the features potentially look engineered. Fauci came to a different conclusion. However, in May 2020, interview with National Geographic magazine, if you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, is very, very strongly leaning towards that this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated, he argued. Even on Thursday, more than a year later, and despite the growing evidence the virus may have come from the lab, following a Wall Street Journal report indicating three lab workers got sick in November 2019 with symptoms consistent of COVID-19, Dr. Fauci remained primarily steadfast in his belief that the virus was not man-made, while adding that he is keeping an open mind. I have always said and will always say today that I still believe the most likely origin is from animal species to human species, Fauci told CNN. The ideas to think are quite far-fetched, that the Chinese deliberately engineered something that they could have killed themselves and millions of other people. I think it is a bit far out there. It should be noted that novel viruses have escaped from labs before, including SARS from the Chinese lab in 2004 and anthrax from the Soviet lab in the 1970s. So the precedent is here. Yet, on cue, many of the media labeled those who even broached this possibility, people like the ex-president, as conspiracy theorists. I think that's a lot to unpack, and it is interesting. So one is to tackle is the mask wearing. So people are like, these, they're saying like, oh, the emails have revealed that Dr. Fauci knew that the masks didn't protect us for COVID-19. I always thought we knew that. I always thought we knew that the masks just lower the probability. And if we can do anything to help lower the probability, then bitch, we gonna do it.
He also was pretty consistent with that, like, in the beginning as well. Like, he wasn't the only person that was saying that masks weren't really going to help that much, which I think was a gross generalization that they used because they didn't want people panic buying all of the masks, because in the beginning of March, all these masks were out of stock to the point where there were some medical people in the medical field that could not get masks because the public went and bought them all up. So I think that that was more of the government trying to lie a little bit to us, because they didn't want people, they wanted to be able to control the amount of people going out and just buying masks. The same thing with the, it's like the freaking thing with toilet paper. Like, everybody bought toilet paper for what? Like, you're not going anywhere. But anyway, yeah, so I don't, he's been very, like, that's not anything new. Also, the prospect of it not being something that leaked out of a wet market, it not being from bats, that was always a possibility. You don't have to be Dr. Fauci to wonder whether or not, oh, I wonder if China did this on purpose. Like, everybody was thinking that. So the fact that he also was, like, not ruling it out, that he shouldn't, like, also he's not a detective, like, wait, I'm looking for the smoking gun here.
So, what they're saying is, and again, I've done some, like, you know, some Twitter searching and some research, is that basically, like, and again, this world, we're so polarizing, right? It's just like, depending on what side you on, is how you get the information. And so that's why I thought it was important for us to, like, maybe, like, talk about this subject on here, because I feel like one side of the field is saying, like, look, he's in collusion with these people, and basically saying, like, you know, and is saying that it's not from a lab and that it's from bats, and, like, you know, he wants to protect one side, and then you got other people saying, like, girl, what's, like, he's not ruling it out. He's saying that more than likely it has come from the mutation of, like, from animal to human, but we don't know for sure. So the fact that, like, they're trying to use these emails to be like, oh, he's in collusion, he's working with the Chinese government to hide the fact that, like, we don't know. And I think until we know for certain, I don't think that it, like, me personally, until we have, like you said, the smoking gun, until we know for sure, I don't think that it's appropriate to leak information out like that. And again, when they're saying, like, and then this article was going on to say, like, people like the ex-president who allege that, you know, China released this, they're saying, like, oh, he was labeled a conspiracy theory. Like, no, y'all not adding the whole truth. And again, it's not about whether or not he agreed with that. It's about how he deployed that information, how he used that information to weaponize. Okay? It's a difference. Okay? And I'm of the sense of we don't know everything. And if we, like, and again, I get, we want transparency. We want to know this. We want to know that. But if they don't even know, What they supposed to release to us to cause then a mass panic of people? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and again, I just feel like it's these other siders that's just like, see, the government is lying to y'all. Y'all never should. Like, I'm not on that side. For me, these emails tell me that they were just like us, ain't know what the hell was going on. And think about how much we know now from then when we knew back in February 2020.
Exactly.
You don't think the same is true for them? The evolution of the thought process, the evolution of the information, us learning more?
It's strange. It's really strange. I don't know if people just want to play fast and loose with some of these facts and just they want to accuse Dr. Fauci because I understand that we're like in a really weird time where there was so much conflicting information coming out in the beginning that it's hard to trust everything that you see. And I know that the American public, I mean, we're paranoid by nature. We are always questioning whether or not people in the government are conspiring against us. You know what I mean? It's just tale as old as time, you know. And I'm sure that there are plenty of things that our government hides from us. I'm sure there are. I don't think that this is one of them. I don't think that there really has been anything that he hasn't said publicly that was in any of these emails. Like, we've been there, done that. Like, we've heard all this before. And this, like, y'all ready to blame China for releasing this virus, causing such a wave of hate towards Asian Americans and just Asian people in general. Look, I am all for investigation. I am all for trying to figure out how this happened and getting to the truth so that we can figure out how to not make it happen again. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Try to circumvent this. I'm all about that. But let's be, like,
respectful, about, like, yes. Let's be honest. Let's, like, think about the ramifications of your words have upon people. And so, again, like, one side ready to crucify. No, for me, and again, like I say, two things can be true at the same time, okay? Like, you know, like, two things can exist at the same time, and it doesn't mean that it's a slight against one, a slight against another. They still don't know where it came from. And, I mean, I would like to know, and that's just the end of it. And again, like, these emails don't prove anything. Like, he say he keep an open mind. Like, you know, he doesn't know. But he does not believe that it is an interesting subject. And it's like, you know, I feel like I'm of the same mind. I would want to believe that somebody would not deliberately do this to kill millions of people. However, I do understand the world that we live in, and people in this world have done horrible things. And so I don't, like, you know, I can see where Dr. Fauci is like, I don't want to believe that. I want to believe, like, you know, what it looks to be, that it has mutated from humans to, like, animals to humans. But, like, you know, not ruling it out, and, you know, following the investigation and figuring it out. So it's just, why I gotta be so polarizing? Why does it have to be that? Oh, he's lying to us. You can't try. Like, no. And then at the same time, it's like, you know, your words have power. And, you know, any false information that could come out could directly harm people in this country. And it's like, why would we want to do that? Like, you know, and again, coming from the past president that, you know, said and labeled things that caused a spike in the Asian hate crime. Like, I don't understand why people feel the need, because for me, when you release and, like, go on this trend of things, like, that's what happens. And so, like, no, we got to be responsible. We need to follow the evidence. We need to see what is going on. Regardless of that, you can still wear a mask. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, then we still come back to this, like, oh, like, no, we never said the mask 100% stop you from doing it. Okay. Just like, okay, now mind you, I'm about to take this somewhere else. Just like, you know, a condom isn't 100% bulletproof, but baby, the more likely you wear it, the more likely you are to be safer. So
exactly,
it's just, but the, like, I don't know, for me, I thought it was just common sense that, like, you know, they still don't know where it came from. They try and figure it out. Look one way, look another way, can't say for certain. And so if you can't say for certain, you shouldn't pinpoint it on anything anyone, like, you know, it's who we know.
They're just looking, they're looking to blame somebody, because everyone wants someone to blame for all of the loss that we've experienced over the past year. Everyone wants someone to blame for the businesses that they lost. Everyone wants someone to blame for the people that they lost. Everyone wants someone to blame for the time that they lost, the money that they've lost, all of it. They just, like, it's human nature to want to be able to place blame for all of the shortcomings that you had this past year on one person. And politically speaking, it pays Republicans to find any way to sow discontent amongst the rest of the American people. They want for people to not have any confidence in this government so that they can take control again, so that they can be the ones that save the day. And I'm not talking about all Republicans. I'm not saying that everyone is like that. I'm just saying, like this is clearly a political attack against Dr. Fauci. For what reason? I mean, this guy has served under both Democratic and Republican presidents and done his job very well. But now that we've all come into contact with this novel virus that we have never seen before that ended up screwing up the economy, we're expecting him to also, like, not fall victim to mistakes. Like, I just, I feel like this is not rocket science. Once again, like, am I crazy? Are y'all crazy?
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, his stance has changed. Like, yes, he works under administrations that put extreme pressure on him. Like, it's just like, I see it. But listen, I just choose to live my life and try to be as safe as possible. And I don't even know. Because it just is like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And it's just like these people that want to sit here and just, like, cast judgment and like ridicule everything about, like nobody perfect. No, like, you know, nobody, like, I don't understand it, but it would be, I don't understand it, but I do understand. This is what I understand. I don't necessarily understand the rationale, but I do understand that a lot of people understand or want to believe that rationale. Like, do you hear, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That, like, for me, I see it as like, okay, like, we still figuring it out, and I'm not like, but other people want it, like, and I think that that's sometimes the missing point, is that, like, although we there are, like, a lot of other people that don't see it that way. And for me, I'm just like, okay, so where is the common ground here? Where can we be like, let's come together? Let's, exactly. Like, you know, like, where can we be like, okay, that's what y'all focusing on, but, like, yeah, it's millions of people that died. I don't understand, like, where it that's the part for me of all of this, is this frustrating, is that, like, y'all want to find a smoking gun, and y'all want, like, okay, but what else? We still need to get through this summer. We still need to ensure that, like, it does not come back. We still need to, like, because whether or not, whatever the situation is, where we are today is that it's a real thing and that it's here now. Mm-hmm. And y'all want to focus on these emails, but y'all don't want to focus on the fact that, like, had other people responded to their emails or other people acted on the information that they had in January.
And are y'all wearing your masks when you're coming up with these theories? Are you getting the vaccine when you're coming up with these theories?
It's just such a tough conversation, because, and which is why I wanted to put on a casualty, and mind you, I'm sure some people may not agree with our stance or have a different stance, and guess what? That's okay. And that's part of the reason why I wanted it on the casualty, because it's like the environment that has been cultivated for hundreds of years, but more particularly in the last 2 years, like, has everyone at odds, and guess what? Somebody can state their opinion, and you don't have to go at their head. Like, you know, like, you can respectfully disagree. You can respectfully say, you know what? I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing, and you mm-hmm. know, being safe. And you do yep. what you do. Like, and again, I'm not diminishing your thought process. I'm not, like, you know, that's you. and that's fine. And guess what? Like, I've got the right to believe and live my life how I want to, and you have a right to. But I think that we all should be respectful. I think that we all should be responsible for our words and our actions, because we know that there are real ramifications to people with these words and actions. And so that's my take on it.
Yep, and honestly, and that's what it really boils down to, is because we've seen so much violence against Asian Americans over the past few months because of all of this, and it's just, I feel like, I mean, we've always had, like, such a contentious relationship with China that, of course, it's the easiest thing for people to want to believe is that, oh, this is some attack. And you know what? I'm not ruling it out either. Like, I'm not saying that that's not entirely. I mean, who knows? Maybe China did do this. Well, I don't know. I wasn't there. Like, I don't know what happened. But it's just, there has to be a way to have this conversation without all of this horrible, toxic behavior, deadly behavior, violent behavior. You know what I mean? And Dr. Fauci, I mean, I could be wrong about Dr. Fauci too. Who knows? Once again, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. But I just feel like someone who's served under so many administration, has done his job for 40 years, has been involved with not only the coronavirus, but coming up with vaccines for other things. Like, he's been doing work on the HIV. Like, come on. Like, I just don't see this guy being in bed with China. I just don't see it. But I mean.
And we're not ruling it out. I mean, if like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, I'm gonna just go with the logic of my brain and how my brain works. And I completely agree. So, I mean, whew, a lot, an interesting topic, but you know, we don't shy away from the hard topics, and you know, we stay pouring the tea. So love to hear your thoughts on this purple pants posse. Yeah. You still there, Amon?
I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah. So, keeping... Okay.
Yeah, what the internet was coming for me today, y'all. Like, this episode was a struggle for me.
Ooh, child. Listen. let me not even make a joke. Okay. So, let's segue into... Okay. Now, I don't even know why this is a news topic, but it is, so we pouring the tea. Baby name Karen takes nosedive in 2020. Lowest ranking since 1920. Okay. The Washington Post says less Karens will be asking for managers after data reveals that the name has plummeted in popularity in 2020, the lowest ranking name since 1927. The name decrease in popularity has come a long way since the name was the third most popular name with baby girls in 1965. And the viral Karen meme is most likely the reason why. For those who are unaware of the meme, a Karen is typically a white, entitled woman who throws public tantrums. And thanks to the perceived victim's mentality, the meme is often used as a catchphrase or a term for bad behavior by women with white privilege. So, I mean, we all know what a Karen is, but
we all know a Karen.
Or two, or three. But my thing is, like, okay, like, why does making the news? Because, like, let's also think that, okay, in 1965, yeah, Karen was the third popular name. But baby, it's 2021. The country look a lot different, okay? We, like, you know, the country looks a lot different than what it did. So it is, yeah. Now,
I feel so bad for actual Karen. Like,
child, they be like, it's Karan, okay?
You know, Whoopi Goldberg's name is actually Karen.
Yeah, I know. Child, she was ahead of the curve.
She was like, I'm not really sure how I feel about this Karen nonsense.
But
she nipped that in the bud a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think the name Karen was on a decline prior to naming the meme going viral. I feel like the meme has most certainly jetted the name, but yeah.
What would you name your daughter if you had a daughter?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, but I do know it would be in the B family, because my mom named all of her children with a B, so we were the BJs. So I would somewhat continue that legacy. So I don't really know. I never really I don't know, but it definitely would be in the B family. I'm not far off from a Brianna. I'm not far off from
a Belinda.
I'm a pass on a Belinda. Bianca. I'm a pass on Beyonce. But maybe even Beautiful Johnston.
Okay, I like it. I always love the names that are just words.
Right.
It's something about it that's just it's just you're taking a risk. You're stating it right then and there. It's yeah, my name is Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yes, and?
Well, I'm claiming it.
Invincible.
Listen. But yeah, very much in my Beyonce, Kim Kardashian bag, yes, Beautiful, always Johnston.
I have always loved the name Serena. It just sounds so beautiful to me. But if anybody knows me, everyone knows that I love sunshine. I'm a big fan of the sun. So I would want to name my children after the sun.
I love that.
If I had a son, his name would be Sol, S-O-L. And if I had a daughter, I don't know. I think about Sunday sometimes, spelled with an I instead of a Y.
I like that.
I don't know. Or Solange.
I'm here for Solange. And not if, when, because we want to speak it into existence. You want to be a parent, so you will be a parent. But yeah, I love Sunshine. That's my mom's dog name, a.k.a. my sister. So I've really become pretty active on the name Sunshine.
Yes.
So yeah. But so, in case anybody wanted to know, the name Karen is plummeting.
It's a basic name. We can do away with it for a couple of generations. It's fine.
Right. And here's another thing that I feel like the article should say is that the names, they plummet, and then guess what? They come back. In 2000, the name Aiden, which had been around forever, everybody was naming their kid Aiden. So it's just a way.
It sounds early 2000s-esque. It just gives you I feel like Blink 182 vibes.
Not Blink 182. But yeah, so let us know what you would name your children. We're curious. And then for the last tea that we is spilling, Issa Rae. Okay.
Yes, baby.
Okay, she joins the Spider-Man into the Spider-Sphere sequel.
Into
the Spider-Verse. Spider-Sphere, Spider-Verse. Okay, she is coming as Spider-Woman.
She's a verse queen.
Okay. She is coming as Jessica Drew. So, we know Issa is an actor, a writer, a producer, a director, and now she can add to the resume.
Voice actor, baby.
I was going to say superhero, but I mean,
because it is a cartoon, right?
Yes, it is a cartoon. So, just exciting. I just love Issa Rae. And I'm excited because I love Spider-Man. I love Invincible.
There are so many goddamn Spider-Mans now. There are so many. I can never catch up on any of these comics because there's just so many. This new Spider-Man from the live action one with Tom Holland got every damn body in it. They're going to have all the Spider-Mans. Freaking Andrew's going to be in it. Freaking Tobey Maguire's going to be in it. Everybody's going to be in this damn movie.
It's a lot. But people are excited because with Issa resuming this role as Jessica Drew, they are saying that there are a lot of other characters that ain't really get the limelight in this comic series. And so they are with her coming as Jessica Drew is going to bring a lot of more light to these other characters, that they're saying. So people are really excited. I'm just excited because Issa Rae is amazing. I am sad because we know season 5 of Insecure. is the last season and they still filming. So, girl, you can't do it like a lot, you know, Insecure season 5.2 or something, but
I feel like this is the right move. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a good show. You just got to end it when it's good and move on to the next project.
I agree. And I am excited and ready for Insecure. I know they're still filming, or I know that they were, because I think maybe like 2 weeks ago, Molly, the actress who plays Molly, dropped to her Instagram like the final episode of Insecure. So I know that it's probably already shot. But my thing is, like, when it's the final season, child, Insecure don't have to come out to 2022 then. Okay? Y'all can just keep pushing it back so it never really ends. But
can you believe we're like halfway through the year already?
I was about to say that, like, wow. Child.
Like, I feel like I remember New Year's Eve like it was yesterday. Like,
yes. And maybe because the days just seem to be like, they seem all the same because we just been inside for so much that it's, and you
together,
know,
baby.
It's crazy because I find myself having some, like, not social anxiety, but I find myself, like, now that outside is open again, and, you know, my friends, you know, my fully vaccinated friends that I hang out with are inviting me to more and more things, and I am finding that I am having some trouble accepting all the invitations, like, post-pandemic Bryce would be there, like, you know, like, and now they'd be like, Bryce, come over, we cooking out, Bryce, we about to get in the pool. I'd be like, I'd rather just stay inside and watch Invincible.
Yeah. Yeah, I went out for the first time, like, out, yesterday. Like, that brunch that I told you about turned into just a whole day of gallivanting around the city, just drinking and carrying on. And it was an adjustment, like learning how to be around people again, learning how to, you know, like, I found myself like not joining in on conversations because I just didn't even know what to say. I was
right.
Like, who am I? I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do. All I've been doing for the past year and a half is sitting inside, watching Big Brother, podcasting about Glee and eating chips.
Okay. Yes. So it's such a weird dynamic. So I am, yeah. So, and after we record this, my friends had invited me to like a little brunch. So I want to go to that, but I have to be honest. Like, my first hesitation was like, no, I'm going to stay home. So I really feel like I have to like relearn my like outside Bryce, but I believe it's like riding a bike. So I just like, you know, I just also want to just maintain like being safe. And, you know, even though this is a fully vaccinated group, you know, the vaccine don't make us invincible. So I do want to like, you know, limit my interactions, but I also do want to like just get out and like live again.
Yeah, 'cause I'm living life again. Yeah. Yes.
So with that being said, I'm gonna go out and start living my life. But I really appreciate you, Aman, for the casual tea. What's going on in your Aman sphere?
My verse. My verse.
Girl, don't do me. Don't do me.
You know, same old, same old. I've been sort of like a little MIA more than usual just because I'm still adjusting to my new job and everything. And just life in general, and I've been going back home to Pittsburgh so much because of my godson and seeing my family, so I've just kind of just been not like a real human, but I feel like I'm finally starting to get back into like my usual swing of things. Of course, I still have my podcast with Matt, so you can always check out the Choir Room. Big Brother season is about to start. We're like a month away now, baby. I'm so excited. And other than that, yeah, you just follow me on Twitter as always. I'm on Adwin. Oh, you know that Twitter, we should talk about Twitter Blue. We can talk about it next time.
Oh, yes. That's first on the tee next week, Twitter Blue. Yes, because I've been seeing the tweets. But yes. Well, all right. That's the casual tea with Aman and B. Please let us know what you thought. Let us know topics you think that we should cover in this versus, okay? Not sphere, but in this versus, okay? But we'll be back in 2 weeks. It's the casual tea with Aman and B.
Puh, puh, puh. I said it's a puh. I said it's a puh. I said it's a purple pants premonition.
And keeping the menu rolling, we are back this week with our forecast for June in our purple pants premonitions. Let's welcome back to the podcast the gangster that is Gurry.
You're hallelujah, holla back. How y'all doing out there, child? How you doing, Bryce?
I am, you know, I'm trying to get back into my zhuzh is mm-hmm. where I'm at with it. You know, I'm just trying to get that old thing back.
Okay.
Some days I feel like the old thing might have just passed me on by. Mm-hmm. And other days I feel like it's coming.
Okay. Listen, it just depends on the day, right?
Depend on the hour.
Okay, listen, we taking it moment by moment. Come on now, we breaking it down to every second counts. And I feel that 100%. I feel like that's just what life is right now. And you know, if you woke, you know what I'm saying? You've been listening to the show for quite some time. If you've been just tapped into yourself, tapped into your spirit, then you know that this time is a really crazy time of the year. I mean, Bryce, like, you know it's eclipse season and retrograde season, right?
Oh, what that mean?
Okay, listen, let me go ahead and break it down for you real quick. So we're in the middle of Mercury retrograde season. By the time you're listening to this, we'll probably be deep in her. Mercury retrograde is when communication is off. It's a time to review contracts, a time to go over things that you feel like, you know, were, you know, left by the wayside. It's kind of time for you to just like review and make sure that the person that you are, the things that you want to do, like, is this really what I want to be on right now? Or do I need to take a different direction? And since we're in the middle of eclipse season as well, it's kind of like the natural pull of the earth is making everything shake up. That's why things are a little all over the place right now. It's all about keeping in mind that this is supposed to be happening for your highest good. If you stay tapped into that, it's a little bit easier for you to navigate. So, I mean, it may be endings to relationships, endings to friendships, you know, maybe you knowing that you're about to get out of a job and maybe start a new one really soon. But it's a time for you to really just like keep in mind, like, what direction am I going? I don't have to put effort into what is meant for me. Exactly like you said, like, you feel like some days things are passing you by, some days they come back. And it's like, if it's really for you, it'll always come to you at the right time. And we can't rush the magic, okay?
So I hear that.
Okay, so that's what June is giving. We're in the middle of eclipse season. We're in the middle of retrograde season. I feel like that hot girl summer that Megan Thee Stallion was talking about last year, like, I feel like that's this summer. It's just like giving 2021, like 2.21 or something like that.
Yes.
The girls are out. It's hot. It's Pride Month. Shout out to all my babies out there. Listen, because we've been doing it for a really long time and we're about to get our just desserts. We've been in the house. It's time to show up and show out. And that's exactly what the month of June is giving us right now. It's all about, like, what did we do when we got rid of all of the BS? You know what I'm saying? We cut off all of the situations that weren't working for our highest good. And as we are going through this solar eclipse, I feel like the solar eclipse is going to be happening specifically on June 10th. This is going to be in Gemini. So this is all about, you know, something new, those new things, those new opportunities. You know, Gemini's real flirty, real sexy and everything like that. So it's important for you to keep in mind that new opportunities are coming your way. Just stand and receive them. How's that sound? Because I was about to say, listen, I know that we've been working real hard in May. May was crazy. Okay, she was busy.
Yes, I'm really feeling Yolanda Adams. I open up my... Okay, listen,
okay.
I'm here for the blessings. I feel a lot of the times I don't receive them. Mm-hmm. And I want to just make sure that I'm in a place where I can open up to receive them, because blessings can come, but if you're not receiving them, then what's the point? So I really love the fact of like shifting and having these blessings come, but mm-hmm. more importantly, receiving them and opening up to receive them.
Yes. And it's just like, you know, sometimes, you know, as we have done this work on ourselves or just becoming more aware, more self-aware, we start to recognize where blessings have passed us by, but we didn't recognize them as blessings in the time. And we can go back and give gratitude for them and be like, you know, like, you really have me fucked up out here, but you know why I love you? Because you helped me to become this better person in this very moment in time. And I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with, is like being able to acknowledge when a blessing may come is something that's a little uncomfortable. Like, this is giving the season of discomfort. It's like, is you about it or nah? And that's what June is asking you. Like, are you about it? Are you with it? Are you about to go ahead and snatch the crown? Are you going to sit in the back and let everybody else do it for you? Because you know what? You've been waiting to go ahead and step out. Like, we always always are trying to step out. We always trying to pop out. But it's really important for us to keep in mind, like, taking a nap sometimes is just as important. Like, just because everybody out in the streets don't mean you have to be. All right? And sometimes it's really just, like, listening to that. So I want to go ahead and hop into the cards. I have 2 to 3 decks. I got one on standby just in case. You know how I do. I want to start off with, where are we feeling blocked in our intuition? Where are we feeling blocked in our creativity? And how can we run against that? So let's go ahead and see what the cards have to say. I'm using the Akamara Tarot deck. Spirit guides, known and unknown, and to everybody who's listening to the Purple Pants Podcast, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for allowing me, Gary D, Gangster Gurry, to be the conduit of this message. Now, whatever this is supposed to be, let's go ahead and see. All right, so what do we have? Because I feel like cards are really trying to listen. First and foremost, one of the things that I want to say and I want to bring back up is, you stated you are not necessarily not receptive to blessings, but it's just like when you hear them, you don't necessarily register them as blessings or register them as gratitude. Can you, I want you, Bryce, to like talk about, what does that mean to you? Like, how are you working through being able to notice blessings in the moment?
I am working on being more present, being more in tuned with myself, and knowing if I am not in a place where I want to receive things, like active, like being cognitive enough to say, like, bitch, I ain't in a place right now. Mm-hmm. And then also saying to myself, like, well, what can we do to change this?
Yes.
And then for me, it's really about, like, humility and really, like, you know what, when I get into a space like that, counting all of the blessings in my life, in the sense that, like, I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm working, I survived this, and then, like, really telling myself that I'm worthy of it.
Amen.
And believing it. And that's kind of, for me, is my way of saying, like, okay, I do deserve this. Because a lot of the times I feel like we beat ourselves up. We say that we're not worthy. We say that this isn't for us, and really kind of like speaking it into existence. And I ain't even gonna lie, a lot of times I have to fake it till I can make it.
Listen, and I mean, we all are doing it out here, but when you fake it long enough, you believe it. And it's like, you have to receive to believe. I don't know why that phrase just came out, but it just feels like it fits. You got to receive to believe. And the more that you continue to receive it, and the more that you continue to receive it in the language that works for you, that's when you start to recognize, like, oh shit, like, I'm actually doing it. And that's exactly what the month of June is bringing to us. So the first card that comes out is Oneja Cutlass. This is representative of the traditional Knight of Swords for any other tarot readers out there. So it's all about, you know, having our sense of mind, having our clarity, knowing what it is that we want as far as the next step is concerned. Like, we know what our dreams are. We know what our passions are. We know that when the opportunity comes our way, like when it taps us on the nose, we're not going to just let it pass us by. And that's what we are continuing to wait for in this season. But in order to be in that state of mind, you have to have clarity. You have to have this moment where you're just like centering with yourself. And sometimes you have to defend your beliefs. You know, when you are in a moment where somebody's trying to come and tell you about yourself, when you know yourself better than anybody else, and you're like, actually, no, that's not what we're going to do on today. If you got to check a bit, you got to go ahead and check a bit. And that's just what is given in June, okay? It's all about that action. Are you about that action? Are you about taking ownership, taking the crown back? It's like, you know what? This is mine. I own this. And sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, it may come out in these moments where we're a little impulsive. It may come out in these moments where we are, like, you know, going for what we feel like in our gut. Like, we're making those gut decisions. And our gut decisions, bad things. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the gut decisions that we make, it may lead us into a situation where, like, oh, shit, like, this is trudging up a lot of toxic energy, or maybe it's having people respond to me in a different way. But you were living in your truth. And is there anything wrong with living in our truth in 2021? Like, come on.
Right, okay. Well, some people are, and that's the problem. You
need, okay.
You need to stay grounded and live in your truth.
Okay, and the issue with that is, like, if you're having that issue where, you know, you rocking on your own, you doing your thing, you're dancing on your own, like Robin, isn't that, I keep dancing on my own. Listen, keep dancing on your own. Sometimes the girls are going to be mad because you out here doing bad bitch things, as I like to say. And when you're shining, when you are styling and profiling, like, it's, we were inside last summer, like, indefinitely at that point. This is giving a little bit of openness. Like, it's giving you the opportunity to put all the tools you spent the last year and a half preparing, massaging, learning about yourself to action. In addition, some more advice where you're feeling a little blocked in your intuition, looking for guidance. It's all about knowing that we have to take off the rose-colored glasses in our lives. We have to look at situations as they are. And sometimes we really struggle with looking at things as they are showing up because we tend to think that we're ungrounded. Like, oh, I'm overthinking it. Oh, I'm not as stable as I normally am because everything is so shifty. But this is where you have to trust yourself. This is the moment. This is the opportunity for you to be like, actually, no, I'm going to speak up because my emotions are real. My vibration, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm so tapped in with myself. I'm very self-aware. And I trust that the right person is going to be able to receive what I'm putting down because I'm not putting it down in no BS. I'm coming from a place of love. And that's the most important thing for us to keep in mind in the month of June. How am I operating from a place of love? Two additional cards that came out are going to be the Sixth of Calabash and also going to be Amo Kauri. So this is going to be the representation of the Six of Cups and the Page of Pentacles, but they're coming up in reverse here. So with the Six of Cups, this is to me all about, we are in this place of emotional. You know we have these things from our childhood, like childhood trauma that's coming up that we sometimes have to deal with. Maybe we've gotten into a place where we tend to respond a little bit, you know, shyer than we would because of how we've had to deal with things in the past. Like people that have taken our power away. This is a time for us to reclaim our power, reclaim our identity, and really stand on our own two feet and not be fearful of standing on our own two feet. With the Page of Pentacles coming up in reverse, it's all about like, okay, like I know what grounds me, or actually do I? I have to go back and look at, you know, what's been making me feel lazy? Where am I not committing in the ways that I need to? Like, I'm a very ambitious person. I desire so much in my life, but am I putting in the work in order to receive this? And sometimes it's all about closing the door. Sometimes it's all about clapping back to let somebody know that you are not the one to be played with. And there's nothing wrong with that because that means that you are serious about your shit. I'm an artist, you know what I'm saying? And I don't play about my shit. And it's like, okay, that's what you have to put out there. That energy is always going to vibrate back to you because if you keep in mind how many things have come into your life in this year that you dreamt about at some point, the energy is out there. You're starting to connect to what it is that your natural essence is. Don't let that, you know what I'm saying, get derailed because of somebody else trying to bring you down. That's not what we do in 2021. You heard me?
Yes. You heard?
Oh, get into that, okay? So I want to just give one quick piece of advice because I can't give y'all all that tea and then let y'all sit by the wayside. So I actually received this oracle deck from a friend of mine. It's the Sufi Wisdom Oracle Deck. So it's all about divine guidance through the hearts of the great sages. So I've been finding it helpful as a little affirmation for us to close out what the month of June is giving to us. So let's go ahead and see what is our one card of advice as we go throughout the month of June. Thank you so much. So, I just spoke about trauma, right? And unearthing our traumas, correct?
Yes.
The card that comes out, it says, ending a trauma. Transform memories and symptoms. Come on, universe. Come on, spirit. Come on, God. Listen, you can't make this up. So, ending a trauma, it says, do not allow your soul to be oppressed. Where part of you goes, the rest of you will eventually follow. It says this oracle is like a gentle lover, guiding you to cope with your reactions to stress and envision yourself in a position of power. Even if you are not a victim of a trauma, actively coping in a way is a way of responding to the challenges of everyday life. This oracle is inspiring you to trust that your life is guided. Unseen spirits flow through the wisdom of Sufi mystics. They come to help you overcome the feeling of helplessness and to encourage you to be the best you can be. They're inviting you. Accept the impact of trauma on your life and take direction on how to improve it and how you respond to it. So your mantra here, there's so much more tea that I could give to you, but you know, the spirit was like, listen, give them just enough. Know that you are working through this anxiety. Know that you are working through this pain, and it's only to allow you to clear up space for what's on your way. Your mantra here, I will attach from being traumatized or wounded. I will detach. Excuse me. We ain't attaching. We detach. Excuse me. Let me collect that up. We ain't attaching. We are detaching. I will detach from being traumatized or wounded. I will release those memories and replace them with feelings of unconditional love. I am confident in my ability to process my memories and symptoms and to thrive. Because I'm talking, listen, I'm trying to thrive. I ain't trying to be rich. I'm trying to be wealthy, baby, because wealth, okay, is forever. Yeah. And rich is temporary. And that's not just wealthy in the, you know, tangible sense like money. That's wealthy in spirit, wealthy in love, wealthy in guidance, wealthy in compassion. And that's what this month is bringing to us. Listen, you got to make space for all the things that you want. Are you about it or nah? And that's what I have to leave for you for the month of June.
Yes, I'm here for it. And listen, in order to make space, you got to get rid of some stuff. You got to let some of that baggage go.
Okay. Listen, bye. Hallelujah. Holla back to the baggage because we don't need you no more. We taking out the trash.
Okay. It's trash day today.
Okay. It's giving Bad Girls Club replacement. Replacement. Like, that's what it's giving.
Yes. Clear it out. Okay. And I love this forecast for June from our Purple Pants Premonitions. It's always amazing to just have your spiritual guidance with us. It's, you know, a staple here at the Purple Pants Podcast. But before we go, Gangsta Gurry, let the people know where they can follow you at if they want their own spiritual reading. Let them know what is on the schedule for you. Let them know how they can become a Patreon and support this young, gifted, black, queer angel.
Oh, thank you so much, baby. Oh, listen, my whole spirit lit up when you said that. Thank you, boo. Listen, you can find me, Gangsta Gurry, at Gangsta with an A, because we don't do that ER busta shit over here, okay? Not up in this house. Gurry with two R's, because you know what I'm saying, I'm from the South. You can find me on Twitter at Gangsta Gurry as well. You can find me on Patreon. That's where people come to get some personal messages and just to support my work as somebody that's upcoming, really out here trying to do their grind. You can also find me gangstagurry.me. That's my website. I may have a couple of bookings open for the month of June, but you just got to keep your eyes out. Or you can email me, gangstagurry@gmail.com. Listen, you can find me everywhere, baby. All you got to do is type me in. Huh?
Yes, and until next time, this is your Purple Pants Premonitions.
Peace. Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Be me, might be you, might be.
And we have made it to the freak of the week. And baby, this one is definitely a freak of the week. I'm sure you guys have seen by now this viral TikTok video that has been circulating all over the world wide web, the Instanets, the Instagrams, and the TikTok. And baby, it is the video of this. At first, it looked like a lady who sees a bear in her backyard. And she go and push the bear off the ledge. Now, when I seen the video, I said, oh, Lord, no, no, no. Okay. Now, don't tell Barb this, but if that was Sunshine, baby, she on her own. Okay. I ain't fighting no bear. When the story broke and it got so much coverage, it ended up being a 17-year-old young lady named Haley Mordecai, okay, over there in Bradbury, California. She was minding her business in her house. She heard her dogs barking. She looked out the window and she saw her dogs barking at the bear, and the bear was kind of like swatting the dogs. She said she didn't even know it was a bear. She just kind of sort of went into protective mode over her dog and ran outside and pushed the bear and grabbed her dogs and ran in the house. Then she looked on her camera and she was like, oh my God, it was a bear. Now, when we watch the whole video, we see that it was a mama bear and she had some cubs and the dogs were barking because, you know, they're in their backyard. They're territorial. So they were just barking and the mama bear felt as though the dogs were coming after her cubs. And so she started swatting them and bay. But what that mama bear did not know was that them dogs had a mama bear named Haley, and Haley came running on out. She pushed the bear, because I would have been in the house. I would have been knocking on the window. I'd have been like, come in the house. Shoe bear, shoe. Okay. I don't know if I would have went on out there and pushed the daggone bear, but she did it. And thankfully for her, she was uninjured. She had literally a sprained finger. Now that 400-pound bear could have ate her and them dogs up. but she was able to survive. Her dogs made it out safely, and all she had was a bruised finger, and now she is internet famous and known all over the world at this point. And now Haley is the freak of the week, okay? Child, she said, bear what? Bear who? Bear no. The story gets even more funnier because, you know, Black Twitter, when Black Twitter got a hold of this video, they went to the archives, and y'all know the rapper Mystical, shake it fast, watch yourself, but show me what you're working with, shake, okay, yeah, Mystical, you know him? Well, about 9 to 10 years ago, he was on the radio with DJ Green Lantern for like their Invasion of the Radio show, and Mystical was a guest, and they frequently had guests do freestyles. So Mystical did a freestyle, and at the time, the lyrics were hilarious, and people were like, Mystical is crazy. But baby, how on time were these lyrics? Listen real quick.
I'm cold as a lion with no hair. If you ever see me fighting in the forest with a grizzly bear, help the bear.
Okay, so 10 years ago, we like, Mystical, why are you in the forest fighting a bear? Talk about help the bear. But listen, baby, fast forward to June 2021. Somebody should have played that song for the bear, because Haley said, if you ever see a bear in my backyard attacking my dogs, help the bear. Okay, so now on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everybody is making, like, playing that video with that Mystical soundtrack. I can't even. For real, Mystical should be Freak of the Week. But if Haley is the Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to a close of another amazing podcast. I want to thank you so much for always supporting your baby boy, listening and showing me love. And if you haven't already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. We there. You know my Uncle Pookie. He driving around Philly with the top down. He got the subscriptions too, so you could get them from him. Make sure you write a review. Let me know what you thought. Let me know what you want to hear more of. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. And make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that if they ever outside and they see a bear, help the bear. Because we outside. Because it's a.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. The Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.